Amen, amen. Thank you very, very much. Hi, my name is Pat, and Jesus Christ is my Savior and my Lord. I'd like to do a commentary on day 54. The Bible verse is actually from two verses, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 16, and it reads, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil." Days are evil. And this, of course, in the book of Ephesians, we know that that book was written by Paul, one of Paul's letters that he has written to the church. As I look, one of the things that I do when we have the retreat there is we have a little book called Know Your Bible. I wanted to read what it says here about Ephesians, the book of Ephesians. It says that the date of the writing of this book was around AD 62, and it was written toward the end of Paul's life. And the description or a summarization in one sentence of this book would be that Christians are all members of Jesus' body, the church. And let me stop there a minute as we think about that. In another part of the Bible, it makes that comparison also, that there are many parts, but one body. So we have one church, not even one church in a particular area, but all over the world, all over. We have this one church of Jesus Christ, and we all are a part of that church, and we all want to do our part to keep that church alive and to help other people know about the beautiful church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what we also need to remember is that we have been anointed to do this. This is the anointing on us. And so, no, we don't want to be wasting time like we used to do. We don't even want to have our own agenda. We want to have the agenda of the Lord, what we need to do. And so this particular book gives a lot of information about what does it look like? What is the church members, what do they look like toward each other and toward the Lord, relational? How does that look like? And so one of the things here, the two verses that we have highlighted, starts off, says, "Be careful then how you live." How are you going to live if, we are thinking that we are Christ's body? How do we live in a way that shows care, And so I put down that for me to be careful, not just careful, because the Bible verse says be very careful, and to be very careful, then I must be intentional. It's not going to be something that I think as an afterthought. It would be like if I was going to a place, I needed to make sure that the way I looked, I wouldn't just pull something out of the closet, and it wasn't even clean or even ironed or whatever. I would be intentional about it. I would be thinking about what it was that I needed to wear and whether it was presentable, didn't have any tears in it, whatever. And the same thing that I learned to do with my food, actually. I went through a period in my life that with the food, I would be okay with the food one day and be binging the next day, or, you know, be worried about my weight all the time, and just a lot of things that I went through with the food. And I met people, though, who were very intentional about their food. And it was like, oh, maybe I can learn from them. And it took humility to learn to follow directions regarding that food. And now I can see how that can be the same thing that I need to do in terms of being in the Word of God and living out the Word of God. With my food, like I said, I was very intentional. Eventually, I got to the point that, you know, if I was going to be going out somewhere, then, and I still do this, I'm going out to make sure that either I have my cup, I should say either or, because I usually have some of both. Like, I think about on Saturday, my daughter, my local daughter, took, and her husband took me and my husband, and my sister-in-law is here too, so she went, and my daughter's mother-in-law went also. We went to a lunch because we knew that on Mother's Day it was going to be almost impossible to get a reservation at this very nice place that we have in the town that I live. And the first thing that I needed to think after I was invited and knew what the time was, well, I know the place, so I know the menu of the things that they had there. But even so, one of the things that I was taught when I was learning to be intentional about my food was to always make sure I have a cup and a scale and a tablespoon, because that's how I measure my food. And I've seen it happen when people just try to eyeball it. And if they succeed in doing it, then the way that the evil one works is that he'll keep tempting them in that way. Oh, you're so good. And also the pride of it. I used to do that myself. And as long as I did not follow the guidelines of people who had long-term abstinence, I'm telling you, it was in and out, up and down, you know, running around and wondering why I was so miserable. And so I had to learn to be intentional. So, yeah, I had my cup, I had my scale, I had my tablespoon, and I also had what they call backup, which means that, yeah, if they don't have the vegetable that I need, I knew I would not have any trouble with the protein. But the other things I have found from experience, not always do they have it. And this is another thing that I learned in terms of the intentionality, is that as I practice it and see the benefit of it, then I don't feel ashamed of what I do. I used to be very ashamed of my cups and scales. Very ashamed of it. But I can tell you that year after year and circumstance after circumstance, as I was able to take care of this part of my life, that God showed me how to do it. You know, I did not invent cups and scales and tablespoons. I did not invent that. But God invented those things, and they are things even a part of the Old Covenant in the Old Testament. They did that, but yeah, I learned that, you know, people are very readily, in terms of if they're sick and they need medication, they don't think anything about, you know, how much medication they take. They don't take the whole bottle of PO pills, or they don't, drink the whole liquid. They take a tablespoon out, they measure it, and they have it, and they don't have it all day long. They do what directions tell them to do. And I had to learn that this was true of my food, that I had suffered greatly with the food. And not all people know that. Some people know it, because now with God's grace, I've been doing this for 38 years. But at the beginning, people did not know it. I mean, let me take it back. They could see that I gained weight, lost weight, gained weight, lost weight. And people who were very close to me, they could see that I was, I was a good witch and the bad witch. I could be so charming and so lovely. And then I could be, please, that I could be back with my horns on. And I did not realize that it was about my getting into the sinful behavior again. And the sinful behavior for me includes the food. The food is a huge one. And as long as I was messing around with that food, my personality changed. And either I was very aggressive and mean and whatever, or I can be the other thing. I can be quite depressed, and feel like, why am I in the world? What is life all about? I can't do this. And like I said, making everybody's life miserable. And I learned I had to be intentional about taking care of the physical part of the food. And when I became a believer, which for me, it wasn't right at the beginning of the food thing. I did the food thing for the first 4 years. I would do that. I would say a lot of pride because I had friends around me who did it, and we eventually all got very thin, and that became a kind of like, ooh, we're great, and whatever. But after a while, I realized that the food was the tip of the iceberg, and there were other things, besetting sins, I call them now, that they could do just as much damage as the food. And it doesn't mean that I would go backwards on what God has shown me about the food. It meant that I needed to get intentional about Him, intentional about Him. And this is what, I know about Him. The Bible says that Jesus was one time asked, "What is the greatest commandment?" And he said, he pulled it actually from Deuteronomy. "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength." That's what the first greatest commandment is. And the second one is to love your neighbor as yourself. So that love piece is very huge. And for me to love God, I got to see Him. So I need to be in His Word. I want to see His character. I want to remember the things that I see. I want that to be on my mind and in my heart as I go through the day. So when I speak about praying, when I speak about being in His Word with my heart, that is my intentionality to not trade addictive behaviors. I know that the food can be, if it wanted to be, an addiction in my life, but it does not live out in my life as an addiction because I'm very intentional about doing what God has called me to do with the food. But I am even more intentional about what God has called me to do with His Word. And like I said, I'm not going through the motions with this word because God is very clear. Don't do that. Don't play church. don't play religion. Don't do that. You know, he sees my heart and he wants my heart involved in it. And that is why over the years I've learned these things to give him the first fruit of, you know, my time in the Word, you know. Oh, let me put it this way. My time in taking care of my body and my looks, you know, 76. And, yeah, I don't want to always look 76. And if taking care of that is more important than taking care of my time in the Word, that something would be quite wrong with that. Because God has shown me, he has sent me in his Word, he told me in his Word, that I have a great commission. He left me here to proclaim the excellencies of him that brought me out of darkness. And so I need to, again, have that equipping in the Word of God. So the verse, going back to Ephesians 5, 15 and 16, be very careful in how you live. One thing I know about my life today is that I'm not the boss. I am not the boss. I'm not. And I have to tell you, knowing that is so peaceful. In fact, like I said, when I lose my peace, when all of a sudden I'm getting all hyper about something, and I'm telling you, it can be hyper good. Not necessarily, you know, hyper anxiety. It can be, oh, you know, the kids are here. You know, because I have a lot of my grandkids are here. I have some, you know, house guests. I mean, we're doing things, we're doing different things than we used to, and we usually do. And yeah, I can get all, I call it squirrely about it. Well, I get squirrely when I forget my primary purpose. My primary purpose is to know the Lord, love the Lord, and live out the Lord's love in my life and help other people to know him and to have eternal life through him. That's what he has shown me to do. And I don't know any better life and no peaceful life like that. But those verses remind me not to be unwise, but to be wise. You know, wisdom comes as I stay very close to the Lord. So day by day, I need to do that, moment by moment. It says, I'll make use of every opportunity. Have 24 hours. And so I must not squander my time. How am I going to invest my time today? How is that going to look? And the gifts, the reason why I need to be so intentional about it is that the days are evil. And so I don't want to, I used to say in my food program, have my head in a bag or a box. You know, that's my life. You know, down in that bag, eating whatever it is, or in that box and whatever. No, I don't want that today. I want to live for the Lord, because so many people walked that walked before me, and I want to walk that before others. And so my encouragement, be in the Word, first fruit, from your heart, not a checklist, you know, get or done, but when your heart connects with the Word and you actually make a note of what God speaks to you in your Word, because it's not only going to help you later, it will help you help someone else, which in the long run is going to help you later. So be in the Word intentionally with your heart. In your heart, in that Word, and then be out of the food, because this is Bible for food we're talking about. But let me tell you, there are other besetting sins, but start with the major one right now. I hear people say that, well, it's more than just the food, it's this and that and that and that and whatever. And they're all over the map. They can't necessarily even get it straight with the food. I would say have the humility to have a small beginning. Get the food squeaky clean for Jesus' sake. Like I said, he's given me years and years, but he's not partial. He doesn't just do it for me. He will do it for all people because it really is a hindrance to be in that food. It hurts us and it hurts others. So let me pray. Father God, I do thank you. I do pray to keep my mind clear, and I don't want to be drunk from overeating compulsively and ruining my life. Father, I want your spirit to control me, and I give thanks and praise in the name of Jesus. Amen.